I'd like to call the September 4th, 2019, meeting of the Board of Library Trustees to order, please. Let the record show that the board members are all here. We have two folks who want to speak to us to begin tonight, Melinda and Marilyn. Melinda, we'll let you go first.
Hi, seeing you all again. Introduce myself, Melinda Carmack, and I'm the, again, officially the new president of the Berkeley Public Library Foundation. We've been working, our board is excited about the new year ahead. They're very excited about the changes that are going to take place at the central, and certainly want to amplify our support for that and our donor support for the project. The other thing I'll just say is we've owned our home in Berkeley, it'll be 30 years next month, and raised three kids in town, and we really value the libraries, and seeing what the renovations have done and how people feel in these spaces, it's just, it's uplifting, and I think it really adds to this community. So I want to thank you. I feel like we're in partnership together, working with Bolt and the Friends of the Library and the City Council to make this a really important and valued asset for all of us. So thank you. Look forward to working with you, and once again, I'm happy to be working with the Berkeley Public Library Foundation and supporting the work of the library.
Thank you. Thank you. Marilyn Simmons.
Hello. Hi. I'm Marilyn Simmons, and my comments tonight are about supporting literacy in the library, improving the annual data provided in tonight's director's report for this month. I noticed that circulation had a 19% increase in items circulated. This is expressed as very significant growth. The report shows that overall participation in the library summer reading program is down slightly. In fact, it was down 17%. So it was about 83% overall of the previous year. So while the very significant growth in circulation is something to be hailed, I think the decrease in especially the children's summer reading program is also very significant, because promoting literacy at all age levels, and especially the younger age level, is important to creating lifelong learners and library users. I hope the library admin will investigate the causes for this decline and work to turn it around. One contributing factor may be the loss of children's librarians at each branch, since they were remodeled in 2013, 2011. Prior to that, I think most branches had a dedicated desk for children's staff and were pretty fully staffed, so people knew where to ask questions. A full-time librarian specializing in children's material who's clearly available at a desk during most open hours greatly increases the use of these materials. Children, parents, and those who work with youth build strong relationships with the staff member dedicated to promoting this part of the library collection. I want to be able to walk into my local branch and ask, what's the latest title in the Dog Man series, and are there other titles for a third grader who likes these books, this series, but lives with very conservative grandparents who might not take him to the library for those? These are in-depth questions that someone who works with children's materials would be able to answer. The last person with this specialized knowledge of the collection for children left almost 2 years ago this December and hasn't been replaced, and I'm referring to North Branch, the one I use. Good service is what brings users into the library and keeps them coming back. Please consider fully staffing children's services in all Berkeley public libraries. And while the overall participation in all the adult, teen, and child and early learning summer reading was down to 83% as an average, early learners were only 74% participation this year. So I think it does need to be looked at. And teens only had a 58% participation compared to last year. So there are probably reasons that I don't know about, but I'll just leave a copy of that. So I hope it's looked into. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Do we have unions here tonight to speak? All right, one union? One union. Go ahead.
Hello. I'm here representing SEIU 1021 Public Service Employees. Thank you, like tonight we wanted to bring to your attention staffing levels and public service. The library has a large amount of longstanding vacancies, and we do appreciate the administration is underway in the process of filling the vacancies. Currently, the vacancy rate for librarian 1 and 2 positions is at 27%. These are the librarians who are generally assigned to staff public service desks, among many other duties. Since many of these vacancies have been in existence for over a year now, we've been relying on intermittent staff and people working out of their regular divisions, classifications, and specializations in order to provide full public service. Regular staff have been taking on additional duties, but there are some key tasks that have been put on hold. We were under the impression that librarian positions would be filled by August, and they have yet to be filled. There are also vacancies in many other classifications throughout the system, and the union is concerned about the effect that these vacancies have on public service. We respectfully request that the issue of vacancies and the effect on public service be added to the agenda for next month's full meeting.
Thank you very much.
And I do have to leave.
Sorry. Okay, that's great. Kathy Huff, Berkeley Public Library Foundation, you are up.
Good evening, and thank you for this designated time on the agenda. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak to you, as always. I have a brief update about some transitions at the foundation, some news about the author's dinner, and just a few remarks from the pages of history. I thought it would be of interest to everyone. And I'm really glad you had a chance to meet our new board president, Melinda. It's great to have her on board. And we also are welcoming several new board members to the foundation as well. I'm sure you'll get to know them as time goes on. And then if you call our office, you may hear a new voice on the telephone. Emily Brown is our new part-time staff development assistant. And if you're keeping track, you might notice that it'll seem as if we only hire Emily's. She will be Emily number 3. Emily Allgaier, who some of you got to know a little bit recently, has started a new life living in San Francisco. So we have Emily Brown, really great person. I hope you get to meet her someday. A few meetings ago, I announced that the 18th Annual Authors Dinner will be held on February 8th, 2020. And for the first time, it is being held off-site at the Berkeley City Club. And I'm really pleased to announce that our honorary chair for that year coming up is author Michael Lewis. And that the Cody Award is being awarded to Pegasus Books in honor of their 50th anniversary. I hope you will all want to come, and we will encourage others to do so. Some of you on Bolt have already agreed to sponsor, and I thank you so much for that. I really appreciate your support. And there are still opportunities for sponsorships in September, so if any of you or you know others who might want to sponsor the foundation dinner in that way, please definitely let me know. If my memory is correct, I'm noticing that September marks the end of the second year that Elliot Warren has been serving as acting director.
That's right.
And a lot has been accomplished during his tenure, and we at the foundation are especially appreciative of all the ways Elliot and his remarkable staff team have been putting to use the foundation's more than $190,000 worth of donations in support of the library. You've created new spaces, such as the Commons, you've expanded STEM and reading literacy, you've provided materials and opportunities for library outreach, and brought innovations and new technology to all 5 locations. So I want to especially thank your library director, Elliot, and his staff team, many of whom are here tonight. Thank you for putting all those donations to such good use. Really appreciate it. And so now I just want to invite you to go back in time with me, just a tad, back to January 1931, which is shortly after the new Central Library was built. And William Guerin wrote a review in the San Francisco Monthly called The Architect and Engineer. He reviewed the new building, the new Central Library. And as you can imagine, he commented on the Central Library's monumental character, its incredible presence in downtown Berkeley. And he lifted up, rightly so, he lifted up the library's primary function as being to serve the public as a house for books in a way that was accessible to all. And then he went on to quote architect James Playcheck, who said he had designed it in a modern spirit, using reinforced concrete and steel to express the function and modern thought that Berkeleyans had put into its creation. The decorative Mayan sculptural elements and sgraffito panels on the outside of the library were intended, they look kind of old, but they were intended to be a modern expression of old art. Guerin remarked on the thoroughness of the craftsmanship, the beauty of the Tennessee marble and the Linnell marble staircase, the ironwork, the other elements. And to Guerin, as he was looking at it, he felt like the whole construction was a, to quote him, a friendly spirit of cooperation between the architect, the contractors, and the workers. Even the oil-burning heating system, it was thought the biggest challenge at the time was how we can heat this big, giant building. Well, they came up with a heating system, it was oil, by S.T. Johnson, and it was referred to as perfection in design. Guerin, who was someone who had visited libraries around the world, he also warned about something. He warned against the tendency to allow library building design to become too bookish and too expensive, to become stifling in its capacity to serve the public. So it seems that even back then, in 1931, architects, librarians, and planners had to balance between space requirements and their relative values. By the end of the review, though, he ends it and he commends the library, and he says, the Central Library impresses us with its boldness and daring originality. I think there's something really valuable in looking back at history and noticing not only how things change from time to time, but also what stays the same. Today, all public libraries are more than buildings that shelter books. Libraries today, at their best, are bold, they're daring, and they're extraordinary. They are the vibrant centers of their communities. They become that because they are filled with people who are committed to doing everything they can to provide free, equitable access to the kind of books and resources, programs, skill-building opportunities, technology, and services that people need, want, and require. Libraries succeed in doing this in ways that few, if any, other places can. For over 20 years, the Foundation, along with the Friends of the Library, which has a much longer history than we do, have been loyal funding partners and stakeholders who believe that great libraries make great communities. We work together with our community of donors, not only to advance the strategic goals of the library, but to do our part in making the library an extraordinary place for everyone. Over the years, the Foundation has raised nearly $8 million towards that effort. In 2014, the Foundation began fundraising for a new team room and other first and second floor improvements at the Central Library. And thanks to the donations of over 1,200 individuals, businesses, and organizations, the Foundation has been able to commit over $630,000 to the project. As you can imagine, after years of unexpected delays on the project, we are all very eager for work to begin. May it be so, and may there be a friendly spirit of cooperation between the architect, the contractors, and the workers. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Now it's time for remarks from the Board of Library Trustees.
Very nice.
Who would like to go first tonight?
I will. I have nothing to say.
Amy.
It's quick.
Okay. John, anything?
I really don't. No.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sophie?
Well, I'll just say glad to be back after the short summer recess. And excited. For me, September always feels like the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. Just a professor's daughter, then went to school a lot, then had a bunch of kids that went to school. So September's the beginning of the year. And I'm just excited for the year to come, think we did a lot of great things last year, and we're really poised, I think, to have a really great year for the library. A lot of wonderful people in place, our director search going on, our partners full steam ahead, and this board, I think, a pleasure to serve on. So just good tidings for the new year.
Thank you. Thank you.
I have two things.
Sure.
First, I'd like to comment on our public speaker regarding the children and usage of the library and the reading program. Earlier, I think it was Monday, I saw a special and they were it was Good Morning America for CBS this morning. And there's a new book out, Raising a Reader. It's written by a woman, and I've forgotten her name, but you type in Raising a Reader. And one of the things that she says is very important is that from the time children are infants, just reading to them and the most important influence are parents reading and reading to their children. And your statistic, I've forgotten what it was, that said how the usage for children's reading program has gone down than in the past for the summer reading program. Well, one of the things they're finding is that summer reading for children of all ages has plummeted simply because it's not a part of regular curriculum. I remember when I was in school, before school ended in April, we were given a reading list for the summer. And that was planned by my parents in conjunction with other plans, what I was going to be doing over the summer. And that kind of thing doesn't happen as it used to. In addition, reading in terms of books, a lot of children read on their laptops, their computers, or their tablets. So they're finding that you have to introduce children to the written word via a physical book. And once children are introduced to the book, then they begin to like reading in terms of an activity. So those are many factors that it's impacting across the nation. And I say that so that we don't feel a lack of programming by the library staff, because this is a trend they're looking at nationally, what children are competing with in terms of reading books and how reading on the computer online is impacting reading books as old-fashioned. As a friend told me recently, her niece told her, back in the olden days, Auntie, people carried books back and forth to school.
Ooh.
And so I said, so that makes us real old in the olden days. So I think we need to take that into account. The second thing I'd like to highlight is Kathy mentioned the author's dinner. And just last week, two of our authors that you had in February, Tommy Orange, the Native American young man who was raised here in Oakland and wrote about the Native American experience from a variety of perspectives, won an American Book Award for this book. And this book is also a Pulitzer Prize finalist. So I just want to commend our folks for bringing forth authors who are being recognized nationally. And the second book that was recognized and given an American Book Award is Dancing in Blackness. The author, Halu Osamire? I must be mispronouncing her name. At any rate, I had the good pleasure of meeting her at the author's dinner, striking up a conversation, and she signed my book. And she really is a very interesting person because she was here in South Berkeley, West Berkeley, and North Oakland during the time of the Black Panthers and the 60s, as well as traveling to Europe. So she's really a treasure in terms of the community. So if you haven't read her book, please read it, as well as Tommy Arndt. So I just wanted to lift these two authors up as being American Book Award winners. So thank you so much for introducing us to them at the author's dinner. And looking forward to February 8th of 2020. So thank you.
Okay, thank you, Judy. I'd like to use my time tonight to thank Sarah Denton for her work with us. Elliot sent out a lovely notice to us all that Sarah's moving on to become the county librarian at Stanislaus County Library, for which we're thrilled, as a matter of fact. And he said that Sarah had been here for 7 years as a manager. I thought, yep, that's true. But she was here long before that. And Sarah actually started in 1999 here as a librarian. And a few years later, she went off to England with her husband, who was going to school there. And then she came back to Berkeley Public Library. And then she went to Sacramento. And then 7 years ago, she came back as manager of branch services, literacy services, and facility services. And facilities is all the maintenance stuff. And as you know, that department's been running without a supervisor for a while. So she's stepped in as head of maintenance on top of everything else. Sarah, we've appreciated your work, especially around STEM and the programming there and your advocacy for branches. I personally remember you speaking to us so well about the Urban Library Council and your enthusiasm for the work they do, which got us, me certainly, and others interested in that. And I know at least twice we've asked you to step in to be acting director when the director's positions have been empty and you stepped in and filled in for us. So we appreciate that work. And on behalf of the board, I would like to give you this. Anyhow, all good luck with Stanislaus County. Enjoy your time there.
All right, I was actually there before I came here.
So oh, that's right.
It's all a big circle.
Does that mean you're coming back here after that?
I guess that depends on how the director search goes.
Anyhow, all best wishes for your new position. Thank you.
Training ground. The librarian for the Oakland system came from Berkeley, and now you have a county librarian. So just remember, that's whatever you face
huge
there, you've already faced it in Berkeley.
You're well trained.
Yes.
Well trained.
The consent calendar. Does anybody want to pull anything from the consent calendar? If so, I'd like to entertain a motion.
I move that we approve the consent calendar.
Thank you,
presented.
Second.
Thank you, Amy, for the second. Any discussion of anything? All in favor, then say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say sign. Thank you very much. information reports. The monthly library director's report.
Sure. I want to accentuate a couple elements of the report, if I may. One of which is in regards to the increase in use, when we're talking about very big numbers, a single percentage point of growth for 2 million is a very large number of interactions. So we are talking about a 19% growth that is really not seen. We trends have been downward in circulation throughout the country. A report in public, I think it was from Public Libraries, showed an 11% decrease nationwide. Circulation a little over, I think it was in 2 years ago. So we're really bucking the trend here. So why is that happening? I think to a large extent it has to do with, it's a net effect of these four branches. What I didn't include in here is that year over year what we're seeing is increases in circulation use, mainly focused on the branches and mainly focused on children's materials. So those are the two areas where we continue to see plus electronic materials. But I want to talk a little bit about what work our librarians and other staff have done to make this happen. When I talk about refreshment of targeted collections, what I mean is our staff at each of our libraries identifying areas where they have recognized that there is need, a community interest, and making decisions title by title to fulfill that need. Another thing that's really, really important is our relationship with Berkeley Unified Schools. Our electronic resource growth increased very significantly by 40%. Much of that relates to a collaboration we built with Berkeley Unified School District that grew this year, and that allows Berkeley Unified high schoolers and now middle schoolers to get access to e-materials through their school accounts. They don't need to have their library card number on hand to do so. And we've done collection development in a collaborative way. I've talked about this a lot, but this is, we're really seeing our children, our minors, our middle schoolers and our high schoolers reading and using the resources of the city at a much higher rate, which is really marvelous, especially given the fact that we're also moving forward with increasing access to a new team. And then I also want to point out the most important thing, I think, is what this one question that we all have. What would happen after we went fine free? We were fine free exactly a year, which allows us to see what happens to libraries. And so what we're going to be doing is letting folks, being able to say to people, don't worry about it. It's not going to destroy your circulation. People aren't going to hold on to books forever and ever. They're going to return them because what they really want is more books to read, if we have the collection that people want. So we have some great kind of experimental evidence that we can share now. And so we're going to be, it's going to be an opportunity for us to promote these kinds of progressive, dare I say radical in some ways, changes to access. So I think it's staff, but it's also board decisions and leadership from our management team that have made this happen. So I want to thank everybody for that, including people not in this room. The second thing I want to point out, we've gotten, I think you all know, you've seen that we've had some very correct concern about Link Plus. Why don't we have access to Link Plus? One of the things in this report is Innovative Interfaces has finally provided us a tentative go-live date. We're now able to share this with the community. Our website has been updated. Our signs in our library have updated. Our staff are aware. We're now able to say, we've been told that the week of October 14th, we're on our signs, we're saying by October 31st. Is it perfect? No, we would love to have had this yesterday because Link Plus is really, really important for everybody. And I can say this as somebody who's implemented Link Plus in two other library systems, it's awesome. And we expanded Link Plus this very year to include DVDs, CDs, books on CD. And we will continue to look for opportunities to increase it. So yes, it's coming back. Are we happy it's not here? No, we're not happy. Will we be happy when we see it? Yes, and I want to thank Jay and Alicia for all the hard work that they're doing, really pushing with Innovative to make it happen. It's been hard. I think you've described it very well. Their sense of urgency is not the same as our sense of urgency.
Right.
I agree with that. And we do have a sense of urgency, and it is unfortunate. We've been apologizing a lot because we want this back. So I just wanted to point out that we do have a set date for that. And then the census is going to be a big deal. We really have an important role to play in the city of Berkeley ensuring that people have access to information about the census. The two elements that we are sharing with people is that one uncounted person represents a loss of 10,000 federal dollars to local government over 10 years, minimally. The second thing that we're accentuating with people is that that the allocation of representatives, both federally but also for redistricting. I want to say redistribution. Redistricting is going to be based upon the U.S. Census. So we're developing a team, and we are working very, very diligently. Already, we have information up in all of our libraries, and staff are going to be trained to ensure that we are able to share the most vital information about participation in the census. Secondly, and I'll open up for questions in just a moment. Secondly, we're going to be able to use our resources. The way in which the federal government is doing the census this year is starting with an online process. So what resources do we have in the library? We have computers. We have online public access computers. We have laptops. We have a room full of computers. So we're going to be thinking about how we can make those as accessible as possible for people to fill out the census.
Questions?
I have a question, and I also would like Trustee Hahn to respond to this as your dual hat, both trustee and council member. I see this census as an opportunity for public service announcements. Since Berkeley is a sanctuary city, I think it's vital that the community knows what resources are available, as well as the consequences of undercounting or not an, as accurate a count as could be. So I was wondering, Trustee Hahn, if you might consider putting before City Council something regarding public service announcements, or however we can get the word out in the community. When I say public service announcements, sometimes I envision, I know this happens, particularly during an election year, where you have robocalls, you also have advertisements on television, you have billboards. I think we need to really look as a city, since we are a sanctuary, and various languages, how that's an important fact for every person not counted, what that means in terms of money. Everybody understands money, the consequences. So I would hope, and I respectfully request, if you can bring that forth somehow in City Council, and ask City Council how we can partner with the library, let folks know the branches, the resources, and so forth, how we can lift that up in the community.
I think that's a great idea, and I was just about to put it on my to-do list. And I think to expand on your idea, we should probably tie in the school district as well.
Yes.
I think if we, you know,
parents.
And the rent stabilization board. Mm-hmm. So,
as well as
all
rec,
those city
all the
level
departments.
Agencies. Mm-hmm. And this is, you're showing great leadership, and I was having the same thought while I was listening to you. I'm like, oh my gosh, let me make sure the city is...
And let's include the health departments as well.
So can I give you...
Excuse me.
Give a, I'm sorry, just to let you know what is going on. There is a... there are two things, there are two important entities that are doing some of this work already. The county has a 2020 census committee that's coordinating efforts for with cities and with nonprofits, and school districts and all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And each city is being expected to form a committee. So the city of Berkeley has a census 2020 committee that's being managed by the deputy city manager, David White. The three departments, four departments that are really most vitally involved are Parks and Rec, HHCS, the library, and IT. And we are working together to coordinate efforts, including public announcements, including ensuring that the most important thing is that lots of other organizations have a heck of a lot of contact with individuals, whether it's religious groups, churches and synagogues, or schools, or places like the YMCA, or other important entities, to ensure that this information is distributed as widely as possible. I think the library has a really important role to play in this, because we have, as you can see from the numbers, we have tens of thousands of people using our services every month. I mean, we do 300,000 circulations. That's an item of physical people walking into the library. So we have a real opportunity to play. And what is our role? Our role is information provision. That's our mission, part of our mission. So.
Well, plus the Berkeley Information Network.
Yeah,
for
indeed.
All of the local organizations.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Perfect. Great. Thank you. Anything else?
Yeah, I have a question.
Amy?
If it goes to back in the packet to page 3, and it says, it's a little mystifying, the whole thing. It says communications at the top, and is that a list of communications that have been received from patrons to
other public?
Yes, so those are all emails I would forward to you.
I didn't get a single one of these, not a single one. And it's been an issue because I haven't gotten
any of
them.
We'll verify. They are in there, and we'll verify which ones.
I have received a total of maybe 2 comments about the cataloging and link and stuff like that. And I know there are far many more out there.
Okay.
So it's a problem. Okay.
We have started sending them out when received, isn't that right? Great, okay. Just check on that.
Yeah,
see what's going on.
It was probably likely just a time.
I was on vacation during that time, probably.
Really? Really?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
We will let that happen again, that's for sure.
For a good portion of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay, let's get that figured out, please.
Yep.
Sophie.
I don't know if she's done. Are you done?
I am done.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, a couple of things. First of all, I think the preliminary data is very exciting and about library use. I'm curious, when is final data available? When, whatever this report is, when do we get it?
Do you remember when it's due?
It goes to the state, I think, in the end of September, and it's usually several months before they send.
But we will have tabulated, and can we release those numbers locally?
Sure. What I'm going to do is for the October meeting, just a reminder, we have a policy. It's the circulation, I think it's called it's the statistical reporting policy that requires us to report to the board these things. I did it pretty much exactly a year ago, and we'll do the same. Mm-hmm. So we'll do it in, we can do it in October, and we will have accrued and verified all the
data. Just because it's great news.
Yeah.
I'm always eager to share great news, but if the real data wasn't available for 6 months, I would just share the preliminary news. But if the real data is available in a month and a half, or less than 2 months, I'll wait for that, but it's exciting. I was curious if the Link Plus being down would impact our circulation numbers for next year. Mm-hmm. I assume the cutoff is the cutoff July 31st for the numbers you're reporting?
Yeah, July 1st.
July
1st, beginning
sorry.
Of the year.
Yeah.
So we now have 2 months. Link Plus is a very insignificant proportion of circulation. I don't have it offhand, but it's
consistently 20 to 24,000 items in and out of year.
And out of a total of
2 million. Yeah, 1.9
yeah.
million. So.
Okay, just seeing those great numbers and thinking, oh gosh, next year they might not look as great, and that could be part of the reason, and we would want to note that. I mean, even if they are better than this year, we still might want to note that we had a reduced access to certain materials for a period of time. Anyway, it's very exciting, and I also just really want to congratulate the staff and you coming out of a period of turmoil. I think it's really incredible that we're able to see so much growth and success for the library, and I really am very pleased with where we're going. And I also know that it had been somewhat of a concern to the foundation, who nicely spoke with us this evening. And I think really this is a great marker of health for our library, because this is our job, is to make materials accessible and to find every way possible for people to be able to use our materials in greater and greater numbers. And clearly, we're having success at that. I was curious, you said that in other places, library use is going down. I was curious if you knew offhand, how do we compare to other? Are you saying nationally, or is it even regional?
It's, I don't know from this year, because the data isn't even available yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, and in fact, even the California state data is a year and now the de facto 2 years behind. So there, I can share with you so that you can take a look individually, or we can try to do an analysis of our comparisons, but I'd rather wait at least until the 2017-18 data is made available more universally, because it's not at this point. So we're talking about old data, but each year, and I can't remember what month it is, is it Library Journal does the star ratings, and one of the key, they're basically looking at outputs.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody remember what the outputs are that they do? It's circulation is one of them. Hmm? computer use.
Yeah, they're following something.
Yeah, a few things. And we have, you know, we are considered a two-star library, which is very significant, which means we're in the 99th percentile.
Three stars.
Three stars.
Is that like
Michelin?
Yes.
Five?
No. So five stars or four stars?
They're four. Okay. There are only three levels, so I don't know. Three doesn't make sense to me. I'd have to look. I think we're two star, but there are three levels.
Maybe it's no star, one star, and two star.
98% of libraries have no star, and it's a very small percentage that have stars, and those are just based upon those kinds of things.
Like
so we're doing well. We've done well for the last 2 years, and I think they don't haven't seen this data or even last year's data, so we'll likely continue to get star ratings, probably going into the very top.
Into the stratosphere.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations for that, and it's great to see. And I think we should have a good news press release and things like that,
great.
If and when these preliminary numbers are confirmed, because good news is always in short supply. And then just a lot of thanks also for the work on the census. I agree with you. Very, very important. For folks who don't know David White, why would you? We now have two deputy city managers in the city of Berkeley. We had only one for a while, and then we had zero. There are supposed to be two. We now have two. And one came up internally from Health and Human Services, Paul Budenhagen. He's universally loved and a really wonderful manager. But the city manager also brought in a truly exceptional manager. He was the previous city manager in the city of Fairfield, David White. He's only been with us for 2 months, and he is absolutely stellar, and he loves special projects like this. And is already making a really, really strong positive difference. So just a little peek into your city. And that is why you see projects like this taking off all of a sudden, because we are fully staffed at the most senior levels in the city with a really wonderful city manager, and now two different and extremely competent and lovely, smart, dedicated deputies. So that's just a little newsflash.
Great. Judy?
Well, that's a welcome newsflash, and I hope we keep such exceptional folks, because looking at what's happening across the board in the Bay Area with cities, when you look at Alameda and Richmond and another in Contra Costa County, it's very concerning when you have upheaval at the top. And since we have a very talented team, I hope we can keep them for a long time.
I hope so too. So far, so good.
Yeah, good.
All right, we'll move on to the Director of Library Services Recruitment Committee report, which I will give. The first good news is that the Director Committee is meeting, finally. Danielle and Elliot and I beginning to work on the library director search and things we need to do around that. And the first main thing that happened is Danielle got an RFP written, sent over to the city, and an RFP has gone out asking for a search firm to work with us in hiring the director. And I just want to tell you a couple of things that are in that RFP. One, in terms of the scope of services, it very much reflects what the city director of human resources said should be in that sort of thing. That group will help us to develop a clear set of recruitment criteria for our director, that they'll help us set up a timeline. We'll have an outreach and advertising strategy based on information and places that they know about, as well as all of the sources that we know about as librarians and use all of the time. They'll help us set up how we do the interview process actually, and schedule interviews for candidates and check references and things like that for us. So we've asked for them to be competent in that whole package.
And in fact, if no candidates work out within the year, we can go right back to them and ask for a second search on the same contract. So that's where we are with that. That RFP went out on August 8th, and firms have until September 12th to send their proposals into us. And Danielle and Elliot and I will read those proposals and have we'll have a selection made by October 4th. And once that happens, we'll come back to the Board of Library Trustees, and the board's job will be to direct the acting director to work out a contract with that specific firm that we have chosen. I think that's about it in terms of that contract. I think there's something that board members can do in the meantime, and that is that that bulk file on director searches is still up in Danielle's office, and it's available to you to take a look at. And if you haven't read through it, it is really valuable because it has many brochures and samples of brochures that are set out to lure director candidates, so you can get an idea of the sort of things that are possible there. It has many lists of directors' roles and responsibilities, and you can see how people pull out specific roles for specific times of things that are going on in their libraries. For instance, when we were about to build branches, we wanted a director with some architectural background. And then there are three or four examples of different interview processes that have been used by different libraries, and pros and cons that that group saw to that. And there are many, many, many suggested interview questions in that file. So it'll give you a really good idea of what's gone on in the past in terms of our own director searches. So if you haven't had a chance to take a look at that, it's probably time to do it now. Do you have any questions for us?
I just want to flag something that I think we should check with the city attorney, mm-hmm. that I'm not sure if a public board, any member of a public board can participate in reviewing.
Or selecting a company.
I just want.
We'll verify.
I also want to say it publicly because I think we need to double check.
Yeah,
that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Good. Okay.
I know as a council member, I could never do that on the council, and I don't know if because you're appointed, if it's different.
It's also conflict.
Usually, the bid review of bids and narrowing down and everything is, but. It may be that I'm wrong. I just want to flag it.
That's why we keep those.
And I want you to be careful. I know you're only doing the suggesting this is
correct.
Goodwill. But there may be a rule.
Yeah, we don't want to.
Yeah.
Good. Great point. So great. I'll check on that.
Yeah. I mean, usually the recommended person comes to the board, and so that is our role. But I just want to make sure that
if
the vetting is allowed to be.
Thank you.
If so, I can identify. A staff member, I'm sure.
Maybe someone from the city sometimes.
Yeah, indeed.
There are people who do nothing.
Exactly, somebody from the finance department.
Yeah.
Or for HR.
I have one quick question.
Judy? Thank you. Yeah.
Will the city Department of Human Resources be in any way in consultation and collaboration with us through the process?
Danielle has been in touch with them every step of the way, and so yes, she's been in close contact with them.
The reason why I ask is because perhaps my memory is shaky at this point, but I think we as a board need to be very careful of our roles and responsibilities in terms of a director search. That's why I asked if the City Department of Human Resources would be involved in the consultation and collaboration.
I think we want to make sure that we're following city practices, mm-hmm. and this is what we do mm-hmm. on a constant basis, really with every recruitment. It does sometimes slow down our recruitments, mm-hmm. And it's important to do. So certainly this is a very important selection process for you guys, mm-hmm. And we want to make sure that that we're doing it following all city regulations.
I just want to clarify, my comment was about the process of selecting
RFP.
A contractor, not the, because I know we have a wonderful person in-house, and the running the process is different from the process of selecting a vendor.
I understand.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes in our enthusiasm we may inadvertently. That's why I just raised that, because I don't know, Danielle, I don't
right,
know how much
this is a finance department issue. It's not a personnel department issue.
Okay, right. You're fine.
All right, agenda building for our next meeting. We've heard that we'll get a report on the California Library Statistics. I would like to ask that if we could have a list of vacancies and where they are and whatnot. We've talked about mm-hmm. getting that for the board.
Okay.
Anything else?
I'd like to know if there are any additional pieces from our Moss work with Moss Adams that we haven't addressed, that we need to address, that we should address, ought to address in preparation for a director search in terms of what we as a board need to be doing.
That's a great question. We are, at the last Moss Adams discussion, there was a discussion about a need to do visioning and mission statement work, mm-hmm. and I believe that there was a good sense of agreement that that was something to move forward. So I moved forward with identifying three organizations who offer those services to get proposals and bids. So we're assessing those right now. It's possible that I'll be able to bring an identified company's proposal to the table, and if they are interested in moving forward with us, a proposal to move forward with the contract at the next meeting. I'm not sure about the timing, but I will, depending upon what our discussions turn out to be.
Perfect. Great. Anything else on the agenda? Meeting adjourned.